organizations out there. There really, truly are. Mm-hmm. One of the things that makes us different from the others is we are brick and mortar.
Yeah.
We are a place. Mm-hmm. And I like to really encourage our families and our participants to see us as a second home. Come in, get comfortable, do what you want to do. And the more comfortable they get in the Playhouse, the more engaged they become in the programs. The more engaged they become in the programs, the more they're getting out of it. So I think it's hysterical that my little guys walk in and the first thing they do is kick off their shoes. Mm-hmm. And their parents are like, no! And I'm like, did they do that at home? They're like, yeah. I'm like, then let them kick off their shoes here. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to feel like it's okay. And when they tear apart the place and leave messes everywhere, I always say to the parents, but we clean up so easily. Everything goes back in buckets and bins here. Yeah. Like, better they tear apart my house and your house.
Yeah.
I'm like, and that's what it is. I want them to feel comfortable there.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's more to, I think, you know, messy is creative, yeah. Right?
And but they get, messy is creative. And also they're doing it with their friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, with their friends' siblings. And so they get to interact a lot with their typical peers as well, which really is a huge thing for them.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. And can you tell us a little bit about the founder of the Hillsboro location and how sure. she came to be?
Her name is Erin Morris. Her fourth child, Ben, was born with Down syndrome. Erin had actually moved down here when Ben was 18 months old, 2 years old, something around that. And there just wasn't really what she felt like a community for families with Down syndrome. You know, there was this little group here, there was that little group here, but there was no actual true community. So as she made friends with other parents, she said, hey, there's this organization out that's based out of Chicago that she knew of from her aunt who lives in the Chicago suburbs. And she's like, I think we should look into bringing one here. And the way Gigi starts is Gigi doesn't come to an area and say, we want to start here. An interest group forms, and they go to the national office, and they say, we want to start a playhouse. And there's a whole factor and formula in it, but the two biggest things they look for is there a need for it in your area? And are you in an area that can financially sustain itself? Because each location is responsible for their own funding. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, if you give me $5, it stays in my local area. It doesn't go up into the network to everybody else. It stays here. So if you say, I want to benefit my neighbor's child, you're going to benefit your neighbor's child directly by donating to Gigi's Playhouse Hillsboro.
Yeah, and I love that. And I think there's it's great to be supportive locally and also globally, because I was listening to a speech that the founder gave about Mexico, because they're expanding in Mexico.
Yes, we have one location in Mexico, and families will ride upwards of 4 hours on a bus to get to them, because there are no services for people in with Down syndrome in Mexico. So until a place like Gigi's came along,
well, and they're outcasts.
Yeah, they really are.
There. I mean, you know, we aren't as accepting as we should be here, but I mean, in other countries, it's downright, you know.
Well, like I said, like my niece who has Down syndrome is actually adopted from China.
Wow.
So she's what we call the box baby. Not really. Once you understand what a box baby is, she was literally left on a box in a stoop because not only did she have the good fortune of being born a girl in China, she had the good fortune of being born a girl with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
But luckily, somebody found her and brought her to the orphanage, and she eventually became part of my family. And man, does that kid fit in? Her personality, like she was meant to be part of our family. She really was.
I apologize. I thought
no.
meant you like, you know, you mail order. I mean,
yeah, no, but I know what you mean. Yeah. But most people, like, that's the term they use in China. She's a box baby.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, and I have a friend who adopted a couple kids from Asia but they've got spina bifida.
So they probably weren't in a box baby, or they were just dropped off on the steps of the orphanage. Like, nope. Because I guess in that culture, when you have a child who's born with anything, it's considered bad luck upon the family, fortune upon the family.
Yeah. So just get rid of it, right?
Yeah. And odds are, majority of the family never knew that my niece was born.
Wow. Yeah,
that's culturally speaking, odds are they never knew she was born.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally believe it, because with Room to Read and with the fight that we help keep girls in school, talk about luck of the lottery. You know, if you're born a girl and 25% of the, you know, 25, I don't know, I forget my statistics, but if you're born a girl in a majority part of the world, you don't have much of a chance.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. All right, well, we are going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And then we will be back.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We are on Facebook Live today, and you can check that out at Happy Hunterdon on Facebook. And today we're talking with Liz Kepnes, who is the Playhouse Manager of Gigi's Playhouse, and she's going to tell us about Down Syndrome Awareness Month.
Yes. Actually, in Gigi's culture, we call it Down Syndrome Acceptance Month.
Oh, that's right.
That's okay. No. Everybody does it. Everybody calls it Awareness Month, and the way we view it is people are aware of Down syndrome. It's the acceptance, which really is one of the big things we're constantly fighting for. So we're trying to just keep the word out there and, like, you know, bust some of those myths and get, you know, more information out there. For example, we spent all of last week, we had a Down syndrome acceptance week at Immaculata High School for the entire week.
Oh, nice.
We went in on Monday and we talked about, we did a presentation for them about what Gigi's is, what Down syndrome is, how they can get involved as volunteers, as students. Then they did a crazy sock day for us because socks are a big thing. Mismatch crazy socks are a big thing in the Down syndrome community.
Really?
It actually comes with World Down Syndrome Day, which is in March, because if you look at chromosomes, they look like a picture of chromosomes, they look like two socks.
Oh.
So we do the mismatched socks for Down syndrome.
That's cute.
They all took the Generation G pledge and signed the banner for us, and then we went in another day and we did a coffee cart. I brought in some of my adults with Down syndrome with me, and we sold coffee and pastries, and yeah, it was...
Oh.
Just another way, because as great as that is, that school is, and even the administration, those students don't have an opportunity to really interact because, as with most public, most private schools, there is no inclusionary effort there. And it's not because it's just the way the schools
and
work.
And they don't have the funding, and they don't have the resources, and they don't, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, public schools are where you're going to get the inclusionary.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be a private school, it's usually a dedicated special needs private school.
Right, right. But the good thing is a lot of schools, period, are good at, they always want volunteer opportunities. So for you to go in there and talk about what you do and why you do it, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. And it was a great week. I mean, I had so many of the students just after the fact, how do I get involved? What do I do?
Nice.
You know, thank you. Because the first day when we went, we brought one of our mothers with us, and she talked, and she brought her almost 3-year-old son with her. And then when we went on the Thursday to work the coffee cart, we brought Aaron's son Ben with us. Yeah, we let him work the room. We walk around the cafeteria. Hello, ladies. Thank you for coming today. You look lovely in your socks.
Oh, how old is he now?
9.
Oh,
and he's perfect. A ladies' man. Oh, is he a ladies' man? Kate cracks me up. But I'm like, well, let's just let Ben do his thing and work the room. And he's just walking around the cafeteria talking to people. And have you bought your coffee? Have you bought your hot chocolate? We got cupcakes up there.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Well, so do you have special socks that you sell that are Gigi socks?
No, we don't have Gigi socks. We just say, like, I in general, since I was a kid, have always had a thing for fun socks. So yeah. I think that's part of the reasons why I was predestined for this job.
Nice.
But we say mismatched socks. There's a company out there called... John's Crazy Socks. It's actually run by a young man with Down syndrome.
Really?
And so he has some, like, Down syndrome specific socks that he sells, and I do have a couple pairs of those as well.
Oh, good.
But, you know, as a general rule, it's just whatever mismatched crazy socks you got. I mean, I'll wear, like, I have a sock that says, like, the Sock Nest Monsters, and the other one are, like, my unicorns flying through rainbows on a camo background.
Nice.
They're completely insane. They don't match, but they go with the culture of it all.
Yeah. And socks are fun. I mean, I always get my kids stocking stuffer socks every year. Yeah, and they also have those, like, snarky comment ones now, too, that are, I love those. I
know, right? Love them. I can't say what half of my socks anymore in public. But, you know, it's all good. It's fun. I mean, I'm 42 years old, and my mother still buys me fun socks for Christmas every year because she knows they make me giggle.
I know, and I love it. And I think it's been a liberation for the guys as well because, you know, they can't be as creative with their uniform, but a lot of guys embrace, like, the wild socks.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So socks are good. So,
yeah.
But I'm surprised Gigi hasn't partnered with Bombas or somebody.
Give us time.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah.
Give it time.
Yeah, because you got a lot going on. I mean, just going on the website, there's all kinds of initiatives and different things. Now you got Gigi 2.0, right? I mean, I don't know. You tell us.
Gigi 2.0, I'm still thinking that's just more of like their next phase of how they want to evolve the organization. I think I've heard some of it. I believe I'll learn a lot more of it in a couple of weeks when I'm in Chicago for our national conference.
Fun.
That's something every November we have our national leadership conference. So I go along with a couple of the volunteers, like what we call our core volunteers, board members.
Right.
This year my gala chair is going to go with me. We have a youth board. So a member of our youth board who also happens to be the gala chair's daughter is coming with us. So, I mean, we like to give our high school students an opportunity to step up and be leaders as well.
And that's when you should start. Like, you know, definitely. I think leadership's the big thing. It's that Lead Like a Girl. Stuart School in Princeton does Lead Like a Girl, and Girl Scouts is all about leadership.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a great way to get them involved.
And if you have high school students who volunteer or are truly passionate about working with this population, they're the ones who step up and want to be program leaders, who want to plan the special events, who want to volunteer to help work the gala every year. I mean, I've had the same group of girls for the last 2 years, and they're already like, you have saved the spots for us to volunteer and run the gala next year too, right? It's like, yes, girls, we have you number one on the list. They find, you know, like I always say, there's no wrong way to volunteer. Right. Find what you love to do. And so if I have this group that wants to step up and they want to be leaders and they want to do things to benefit the organization, who am I to say no? Like, let's give them those opportunities. There's no rule that says just because you're in high school, you can't be a leader and you can't be beneficial to an organization like ours.
Right. And then they get to do it with their friends and they get to learn so much.
I have to say, you know, because my youth board, I've got students from Hillsborough High School, Immaculata, Bridgewater, Montgomery, Stuart Day.
Okay.
I mean, they're all over the place.
So they're meeting people in there as well.
School, right. But then when then they go back to school and they're talking about it on their own personal social medias with their friends. Okay. And I'm starting to get more volunteers from those individual high schools because they're like, well, so-and-so was telling me about it. And then, you know, she's on the youth board, but how do I get involved?
Yeah, they know how to spread the word. They definitely, they're good at that.
I don't know what I would do without my teenagers. I mean, seriously, they're the best.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I mean, and also they're learning valuable skills because you realize that, you know, all this stuff just doesn't happen at the snap of the fingers or in a vacuum, or, you know, it takes effort and it takes collaboration and it takes ideas and creativity and to get it all to come together. And it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, we don't throw them out in the deep end and like, all right, guys, sink or swim.
Yeah.
We're there. We back them up. We help them. We guide them. But for the most part, we want them to feel like they have that leadership. They have that independence to be able to forge their own way. And I say this year's youth board is a different group from last year's youth board. So I'm not going to expect the same results from this group that I got from last year because every group's going to come with a different leadership style.
Yeah, no, I think that's great and to appreciate that. And we were talking before the show, too, about how important it is to find a volunteer opportunity that fits you, where you're saying some, you know, these girls, that they found a home, they found a place, but it's Gigi's isn't for everybody. So, you know,
always say to everybody, when you volunteer, you should be having fun doing it. Cause I personally started doing volunteer work when I was 13 years old. So I've been that volunteer that's walked out at the end of the day and gone, did they know I was there? Did they appreciate that I was there? So I never want my volunteers to feel that way, but I also want them to have fun doing it. So sometimes, yeah, I might say what I need help with is cleaning and sanitizing. But I also say to them, the reason why we're doing this is because it's not just I'm giving you busy work. It's we need to keep the playhouse clean and sanitary because people with Down syndrome often are more prone to respiratory infections. And, you know, we have some kids that a bad cold or a bad flu could be fatal. It means hospital time. It means, you know, so constantly cleaning and keeping the place germ-free is one of my biggest battles. Mm-hmm. So I'm not having you clean to clean. I'm having you clean for a purpose.
Yeah, it's not busy work.
It's not busy work. No. Yeah. It's there for, it has to be done for a reason.
Right, and I think if you want to be a good volunteer, until you figure out where you want to be and what you want to do, I always say all hands on deck, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I always say I'm not above doing menial, routine, whatever work. I'm here to help however you want to use me, right?
I have one volunteer who's like, you want me to clean the toilets? I'll clean the toilets.
Yes.
It's the one thing I'm always like, no, I can't ask anybody to do that. No, I'll do the bathrooms. Don't worry about it. I'll do them. And I have one volunteer who's like, Liz, bathrooms need to be done. You have work to do. Just give me the, go away. I'll clean them for you.
Yeah, I
feel bad asking somebody to clean the toilets. I really do. I can't bring myself to do that.
That was when I was like 12. That was my chore, is to clean my bathroom every
week. But that's at your house, not enough.
Well, I know, but I was definitely, you know, it needs to be done.
It needs to be done.
I mean, you just do what needs to be done.
But I mean, I'm always, so I try to express to all my volunteers what I ask you to do has a purpose behind it, and I'll explain to them what the purpose is behind it.
Yeah, which is important too, because you don't want to be, because I've done that too, where I've volunteered, I set aside the time, I've gotten to the venue and whatever, and they show up and they're like, they're so disorganized, and they're like, no, I guess we don't need you, and then I'm upset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because seriously, and I know people are disorganized and things happen, but I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to be here, I want to do something. Put me to work. And so, but some people go through growing pains and things like that, but also you have to give people a second chance, and you have to, sometimes you have to try different organizations to find out where you fit.
Yeah, and I always say, like, you know, be it Gigi's or somebody else, wherever you land, it's got to be an organization that speaks to you personally too, because you have to walk out of there knowing that it made an impact at the end of the day, and you want to feel like you did good. If you're not having fun doing it, I always say you're not doing it the right way. Right. Volunteer work should be fun. And the other thing I would stress is that the health, happiness, and safety of my volunteers is just as important to me as that of the program participants, because I need to know that you're happy and that you're safe doing everything too.
Right. And you, it's funny how you came to Gigi's. You didn't even know that this was going to be your happy place. You, right? You just,
no,
somebody else was looking out for you ahead of time.
Yeah. I saw the ad on, I think, NJ.com and like the job listings. And I was like, huh, this kind of takes my love of, like, you know, I grew up volunteering within this population. I was a teacher. I actually worked my first job out of college. I worked for a nonprofit for 5.5 years in a nonprofit setting. Mm-hmm. It's actually the world's largest nonprofit. I worked for the Archdiocese of Newark for 5.5 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It's still a nonprofit, though, so you still have that mentality there when you're running things from the business end of it all.
Wow.
And I've always liked, at the end of the day, knowing the work I do is more than a dollar in somebody else's pocket. So I did some research into the organization, saw what it was, thought, oh, wow, this place seems really amazing, and I applied for the job. When I went in for my face-to-face interview, I walked out of there, and I remember getting in the car and calling my mother and saying, if I don't get this job, I'm going to be heartbroken.
Aww.
So when they called me a couple weeks later to offer me the job, I was standing in the kitchen looking at my grandmother, dancing like a moron, going, I got the job, I got the job, I got the job. And my grandmother's laughing at me in the kitchen. But, I mean, it was meant to be. I mean, honestly, like, I knew if I didn't get that job, I was going to be just – it really, I joke that they're going to pry this job out of my cold, dead fingers one day.
Well, no, I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there so jealous right now, because you can sense and feel the enthusiasm and that, you know.
But I mean, it took me 37 years to find a job that I love like that. I mean, it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, it's a process.
It's a process, you know, and I just happened to get lucky and find it in my late 30s as opposed to finding it in my 50s, because not everybody finds the job they love so early on in life.
Yeah, and it was the right time. You paid your dues at Newark. You've done different things, whatever, and I talk about this with my kids too. It's like the person you end up marrying or, you know, sometimes it's timing. Sometimes it's, you know, history and what you've learned and who you are, and it all comes together at the right time. But you do have to take action towards getting there by getting out there, meeting people, practicing, volunteering, figuring things out. You can't just, you know, sit at home and wait for the phone to ring, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said you started volunteering when you were 13. So was that, what was that?
Like just in high school, I did Key Club. So I always did stuff that way. I always, all through high school, was always with Key Club. Whatever, you know, they needed us to do is what I did. And then, you know, I got to college and it was volunteer work through my sorority.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And then when I graduated from college, and I didn't do anything for a couple of years, and then I was like, I need to start doing stuff again. So I did stuff with another organization for a while. But it's always and now my family as a whole is a big supporter of another organization called Cookies for Kids Cancer. Yeah. And so we do a lot of stuff for them, too.
Okay, good. There's no limit on how much volunteering you can do.
So we're always trying to do stuff to help them, too. Nice. I mean, I admit my time volunteering for them has kind of fallen off a little bit just because I am doing, on average, 50 to 60 hours a week with Gigi's.
Wow.
Because even when I'm not working, I'm working.
Yeah. Well, it's a labor of love, right?
Yeah, it is a labor of love. And it's also because we're a one-employee operation.
You.
Me. if there's a lot of things that really only I can do because of just the way our system is set up.
Mm-hmm.
So even when it's my day off, I need to get certain things done sometimes.
Yeah, and you're probably already, like you said, in the planning stage for the gala that's coming up.
Oh, yeah. So. I think we start planning the gala the day after the gala ends. Our next gala is going to be Saturday, March 13th, 2020. No, March 14th, sorry.
And what can people do to help you with the gala?
Well, you can buy a ticket and come.
Yeah.
Those tickets should go on sale probably sometime in December, I believe.
That's gala season.
gala season. But, I mean, the other thing is, too, we're always looking for donations for our silent auction, which is how Nicole and I met because she donated for our silent auction. We also – sponsors, corporate sponsors, people to, like, donate to help offset the costs of the gala. I mean, those are always huge, too, for us.
Do you always have it at the same venue or?
Yeah, we're going 3 years running now of having it at Bridgewater Marriott. They're just, it's a nice centrally located venue. Everybody likes it. It's easy to get to on and off 287, 78, 22. So.
Yeah, no, that's great.
And they're good to us there. They're a great venue to work with.
Yeah, and do you usually have a band or karaoke?
No karaoke. DJ. But we do have every year, we always have some of our, we try to get our adults to do something to feature their talents. So
really?
One year we had a dance troupe there. Another year we had a young man with Down syndrome who plays the trombone.
Wow.
He kicked off the dance floor celebration. This last year, we actually had a volunteer who runs one of our fitness programs. She's a Zumba instructor, and she likes to teach everyone. She always likes to incorporate the merengue into everything she does. So she kicked off the dance floor by inviting all of our participants out on the dance floor to help demonstrate how to do the merengue and then get everybody else up to start doing it. We're working on what this year's is going to be, but if you want to know what that talent is going to be, you have to be there to see it.
Oh, that's good. I love that. It's like a surprise element, right?
Yeah. You got to be there to see what we're going to do.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So if people have anything to donate for the silent auction, do you have an auction thing, like a silent and like a
We paddle? Do a silent and a live. Our silent auction, the good thing about our silent auction is we use a mobile bidding platform, so you don't have to be there to bid on things.
Good.
So if there's something you want and you're not there, you can bid on it, and if you win it, we'll bring it back to the Playhouse and you can pick it up from us there.
Okay.
Then we do live auction is usually a trip, and then the other thing we always do for the live auction is the we always get five participants, teens or adults. The last 4 years has always been 5 years. It's always been a painting.
Oh.
This year we're changing it up a little bit.
Okay.
And we're partnering with photography students from Rutgers, and we're going to have our teens and adults who we've selected to be the artists this year work with the photography students to shoot a picture that they want and like their vision, their dream, and then we're going to have that framed and we're going to do that as the silent auction piece this year.
Nice. Oh, I love photography.
So.
Oh my gosh, that sounds fun.
I have no idea what's going to show up in these pictures because we have selected, well, wait, I have to talk to the parents first, but I'm pretty sure they'll all say yes, but we have selected five very different personalities to be the artist this year. So who knows what's going to show up in those pictures?
Oh, that'll be fun.
I can't wait though. I'm excited.
All right. Well, take us through kind of a typical day at Gigi's. Do you have different classes throughout the week or different groups and
the
kids?
Way we work is because we're what I call supplemental. So we typically don't have anything during the day because everybody's in school.
Okay.
Our programs all happen weeknights and weekends.
Okay.
Because we're the only one in the state, I have families that will drive upwards of 2 hours to get to me.
Wow.
So you'll see, if you look at our calendar, you'll see, especially like our younger guys, the programs are always on the weekends because it's better for them.
Yep.
My adults tend to have a lot of stuff on weeknights.
Okay.
I have programs typically Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, and then all day Saturday.
So is the Saturday more for the kids, and then what?
It's usually more for the younger group on the Saturdays. Saturdays, you'll see, like, we have a program that's for all ages, and the idea with that one is it's called Destination Discovery. And the idea with Destination Discovery is you set up four or five stations that they can work through and go through around everything, and each one addresses a fine motor, a gross motor, a sensory, an art thing, craft.
Like a circuit, right?
Kind of, exactly. But the way you do it is you ask your adults and teens who are older and more independent to partner with the younger guys who might need help. And then the kids who don't need help but aren't ready to be the ones to do it to help others, do it independently. So it shows that progression of I need help to I can do it on my own to I can help others do it now.
I love that.
And that's really one of the core components of the program is, you know, in addition to doing addressing the needs, it's also giving my adults a chance to show that they can be leaders. Mm-hmm. It's another leadership opportunity for my adults. Mm-hmm. And it gives my younger guys something to look up to and look forward to becoming.
Yeah. No, that's so nice. And then during the weeknights, you have adult.
We have yoga twice a month.
Oh, do you have goat yoga? Goat yoga.
No goat yoga. I don't think our landlords would appreciate goat yoga inside of our facility.
It's like the latest thing.
I know. But, you know, I don't know how my landlords would feel about goat yoga.
Okay, so yoga, regular yoga.
Regular yoga, and that's actually run by an occupational therapist, and she does a gentle yoga because she understands, like, the needs and limitations. We do a program with the adults twice a month called Team, and that's a cooking and exercise program. Mm.
How does that work?
Pretty well.
Cookie, eat a cookie, do an exercise.
No.
Oh, cooking?
Cooking.
Oh, sorry.
Cooking. Okay. So, like, for example, tomorrow night when we meet, we are doing chicken fingers, mashed potatoes, and salad.
Yeah.
But the idea is, you guys like you like chicken fingers? That's great. But let me show you how you can make them at home by pan baking them. They're healthier for you this way.
Yeah.
So it's the idea. Part of the program is, let me show you the healthier way to make the foods you love.
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, and it does make an impact on them. You know, you want to do tacos? That's great. Let me show you how easy it is to make your own taco seasonings without a lot of extra sodium and preservatives in it.
Yep.
You want salsa? Great. Here's a pepper. Here's an onion. Here's some tomatoes to start cutting. You know, and it makes a difference because it's also expanding their palates and they're understanding what fresh food tastes like and how good it is. Because not everybody has those opportunities and the time to do it at home.
Yeah.
But we're showing them that there's a simple way to be able to do it too. And it's not something that we pick things that we know they're capable of doing.
Yeah. And it's baby steps with cooking for anyone. I mean, because a lot of people are terrified to cook. And I grew up on SpaghettiOs and Hamburger Helper. Like, we didn't have – I mean, seriously, that's how I was brought up. But I love to cook. But I started slow and I tried things out. And now we have a cookbook. So
2 weeks ago, we did a build-your-own sandwich and salad bar. And basically what I wanted to do is I wanted to see how much they had been learning and retaining over the last couple of years of doing the program. You know, because one of the big things we work with them on is portion control.
Oh, yeah.
So when someone went and takes like half the pile of ham, and I'm like, do you really think that's a serving? I'm like, but I want that. I'm like, but should you? And they're like, oh, fine, I'll put it back. But that's part of what we're doing too. It's not just, you know, here's the good stuff, eat it. It's you have to understand your portion control too.
Right, and just changing habits, like, because it used to be easy to grab that taco packet from the grocery store and dump it on the meat, but now I just use, a tablespoon of tomato paste, some cumin and oregano and whatever, chili, you're good to go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way better.
And they're actually, like, some of the parents have been like, it's also more cost-effective. Like, it is.
Yeah.
It honestly is more cost-effective to take the extra 20 minutes and do it yourself than to buy the prepared, prepackaged stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And it's another skill set that's definitely helps you lifelong.
Because when we're doing it with them, we're not only working on this is how you cook it, it's this is your proper kitchen safety skills and how to handle the knife. When you're measuring things out, this is how you're reading a recipe. This is how you're measuring things, understand the numbers. And so it's not just...
Yeah, it's a math exercise.
Everything, yeah. But then while the food's cooking, they exercise and they work up an appetite. And then
good.
We go back and we eat dinner together.
Oh, nice. That's really... Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I do the meatball ministry at my house once a month where I have the kids cook the meatballs for the soup kitchen.
Okay.
And, so that's fun because, you know, even them, like, trying to measure out a spice, they have no clue. Like, so it's just little basic things. You know?
And, well, I'm also mean because I'll do things like, oh, you guys want spaghetti meatballs? That's great. It's going to be turkey spinach meatballs. So you're going to get your vegetables in there whether you want them or not.
Wow. No, that's good. Sneak it in there. Yeah. What was that, the sneaky chef or whatever?
Yeah,
that did that.
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. All right, well, let's take another quick break, and then we'll be back.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design. this blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on 100 in Chamber Radio. And today we are talking with Liz Kepnes, who is the Playhouse Manager of Gigi's Playhouse. And we want you to check out their website, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. So tell people how they can find you.
Our local Playhouse website is Gigi's, G-I-G-I-S, playhouse.org/Hillsborough. And that takes you to our local location here. Facebook, it's just Gigi's Playhouse Hillsborough. Twitter is Gigi's Hillsborough, and so is Instagram, Gigi's Hillsborough. And I always say to everybody, when you look on our social media, I mean, our website shows all the who we are and what we do. But if you want to see the heart, look on our social media, because that's where you see all the pictures and the videos and really get an idea of what goes on inside the Playhouse on a regular basis. And it's just so much fun. And I admit, I go for the good pictures.
That's all right.
But you got to. If you want to show the best of the best of the organization, you got to do the good pictures. But I also, we're always looking for more volunteers. Because we are 98% volunteer run, I always say volunteer, volunteer, volunteer. And I don't put minimums on my volunteers. You do what you can, when you can, as you can. We have an orientation twice a month. It's always the third Thursday at 6:30, and typically the fourth Saturday at 1:30. However, we had to change this month because it would conflict with our annual indoor trick-or-treating event. But we always have it, you know, every month it's on the schedule, and we always say you don't need to RSVP for it. Just show up if you're interested. I'm in the Playhouse Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 6 on weekdays, 9 to 3 on Saturdays. People are always welcome to drop in to check out the Playhouse, see what's going on. I'm always happy to give a tour and talk about who we are, what we do. We are, like I said, in Hillsborough, right off of 206 on Amwell Road. We're at 450 Amwell, Suite H. We're actually inside upstairs on the second floor in the building. And it's directly across the street from the post office.
Okay, and what? How long is the volunteer orientation or information session?
The orientation typically is about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on how many people come and how many questions people ask. Mm-hmm. If you have a session where a lot of people come in and they're like, well, I already know about GGs, I know this, I know that, I don't have questions about what it means to work with someone with Down syndrome, we're done pretty quickly. If you have a group where they have a lot of questions, it's going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah. And there's no certification or anything? It's just basically you want to show up and help and hang out and...
I mean, it's great when I have therapists and teachers who want to come in and help, but that's not a requirement. I mean, the woman who runs my math program is actually an engineer. Mm. So she's got a math background, but she doesn't really have a – but it just kind of spoke to her, and she was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. There really is – and again, there's no wrong way to volunteer. And I would say, tell me what you love to do, and we can find a way to apply it. That's how I got my art program, because I had a volunteer who came to me, and she's like – I'm in school to be an art teacher. I love working with this population. I know there's an art program that has been designed, but you don't offer it on the local level. Can we offer it? Mm-hmm. So here we are 4 years later, and we have art once a month with Miss Anna.
That's nice.
And groups come in all the time. We've developed a really good relationship with Liquid Church. They come in once a month, and they run one of the adults have their Friday night program is two Friday nights a month. They come in one of the two Friday nights every month, and they run the program. They plan it. They execute it. It's fabulous.
That's nice. So do they play games or just make it fun? Or
whatever. It varies. Like this month they did their Halloween party with them. Last month they actually did Gigi's Idol. They've done just, you know, basic parties with them. It really depends on what's going on in the world that day, you know, that month too, who wants what to do. Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, that's great. And they can just, dancing and music are a big theme around the whole thing, right?
When we did Gigi's Idol, I had 18 acts, 13 of them sang.
I love it. I know. Well, as you said, it's good for the mouth muscles, right? So bring it.
I don't know how good it is for my ears. I was teasing all of them. I'm like, oh, no more songs. But it was fun. It really was. And they had a blast doing it.
No, that's good. Well, yeah. And so you get other churches involved or neighborhoods or people. Or it was funny because you just can't be afraid to just step out there and just check something out. So my daughter works at this produce stand, and I noticed there was a new woman working there. And she said, oh, yeah, she's an attorney, and she's worked forever, but she always wanted to work at a produce stand, so she came and got a job. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's amazing. So, you know, I mean, figure it out.
Yeah, you can't be afraid to go after things and say, hey, how can I help?
Right.
And that's what I would say to everybody. Like, you know, there's no – I have one volunteer. Her thing is not working with the programs. But every week she comes in, she takes my grocery list, and she does my errands for me. She takes my bank deposit for me. I mean, I would be – lost without this woman.
I know. Well, that's so cool. You just find a way that it's beneficial for you and them, and you know, just
so she comes in and she takes my list. She takes the Playhouse credit card and she takes the bank deposit. And she comes back a couple hours later and she gives me back everything. And away she goes. And I'll see her next week.
Yeah, no, and I love that. I love assertive volunteers who say, you know, I don't want to do that, but I can do this.
Yeah.
Right? You know, just there's no reason to be uncomfortable. Just do what you like to do.
I mean, I have some volunteers who. That's what they love to do. They love working within the programs, and it's great. And I have some who are like, I only work with the babies. I have one woman who works with every single age group, and every age group loves Miss Georgianne because she's just awesome.
Nice.
Because she's got that quiet demeanor, so the kids aren't overwhelmed by her, but the adults listen to her too.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, you know, she's just that person that can hit any age group and be good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Any other volunteers you want to give a shout out to that you're so grateful for?
Oh, let me see. Well, I would be lost without Mary and Ann, who run my math and literacy programs.
Nice.
God. And, of course, our beloved Tom, who's my volunteer coordinator.
All right. Good.
So, and Tom is another one who speaks to, you know, you're never too young to step up and be a leader. He just graduated from RV.
Nice.
He's my volunteer coordinator. He runs he's a program leader for me, and he also – is now going full time to Rutgers, and he's like, I'm not giving up my, nope, I'm going to keep being here. So.
Well, and I always tell people too, it's you know, if you make time for volunteering, it's one of those things that it doesn't sap your energy. It energizes you.
Yeah.
Cause you're doing something you love. So it's something you look forward to, and it allows you to do more things because you've got, you're energized by this purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and my board in general, you know, as much as I joke that, oh my God, my board, they need to go away. I have 8 bosses. Honestly,
they mean well, right?
They mean well. They mean well. For the most part, you know, my board and I get along really well. And, you know, I'm lucky in that respect that I have a board who listens to me when I say things need to be done, they get done. You know?
Well, I mean, you're in with the popular, you're there every day. You're the nuts and bolts and crux of what goes on there. So they, you know, they just come in for a meeting every night. I mean,
now, some of them are there more regularly because, they have involvement in other ways. You know, half the board actually are parents, so they're there as parents as well.
Nice. Okay.
A couple of the board members are there because, you know, they started as volunteers in the Playhouse and just ended up becoming board members. So, I mean, they all have different affiliate reasons why they're there and why they're doing what they're doing, but they're really great in that respect, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's good. And I'm working on this other project, and I said, well, let's do it this and this day and this. And then she find the email, and she's like, well, that day doesn't work for us, and we'd rather do it this. And I said, fine. I'm like, you're the one that's there all the time. I'm just like swooping in and saying, let's do this. So you tell me how you want to do it, and we'll get it done. So, I mean, it's all give and take and collaboration. And it's good.
I mean, and we're just so grateful, like the community, and when they step up to us, and like out of nowhere, I got an email yesterday from a woman whose friend, her child goes to Immaculata with Aaron's child. And she wants to set up a fashion show and shop for a cause day at Athleta in the mall.
Nice.
I'm like, okay, let's go for it. Let's see what we can do. I mean, not only is it just, you know, it's a fundraiser, she's giving our participants a platform to, like, shrug their stuff on, too, which is amazing.
I love that, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm excited for that, you know. We have all these restaurants that are like, let's do a Dine to Donate. And it's like, great, let's set one up. I mean, it's one of the easiest ways in the world someone can go out and support us. Go out for dinner. Oh, by the way, I'm here for Gigi's, and now a portion of your bill comes back to us.
Yeah, I haven't. Is Dying to Donate like a big thing, or is it? I haven't heard of that one.
You've never heard? Oh yeah, okay. They're getting bigger and bigger.
Is it with a group of restaurants or any restaurant?
A lot of restaurants do them. I find it's more the chain restaurants that do them.
Right.
So like we've done with like Houlihan's, California Pizza Kitchen, Texas Roadhouse, Applebee's, and they're the ones more like they have a chain, so their corporate offices kind of facilitate all of them. But it's great because then people go in and they do things and. They just all they do is go out for dinner or lunch with your friends. Say you're there for Gigi's, and now I get a portion of your donated back to us. It's an easy way to go to like support us without actually having to.
Yeah. Well, I think we have a Chipotle fundraiser every night of the week for somebody at the one near us.
Yes.
Which my kids would love to eat there every night of the week.
Yes. Chipotle does them too. And even like the smaller, like up-and-coming places, like Sweetberry Bowls always does one for us.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. I mean.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I didn't know about that one. So that's good to know.
Yeah.
Some good tips here. Yes. So what else? So you've got the math program and then the literacy.
Our math and literacy programs are both one-on-one. It's one-on-one once a week for 10 weeks. It's about an hour, anywhere from half an hour, depending on the attention span of the student. It starts as young as 3, and it's all volunteer run. Okay. Our tutors are all volunteers. Mm-hmm. We have a training program. We teach them the material and how to use it all, and the coordinators are always there to back them up and help them out with things. I help out as much as I can. I will admit, I'm okay in the literacy program. Math. Not my strongest suit. If you're not sure, talk to Mary. She probably knows more than I do.
That's
right. And everyone laughs when I admit that. But they're there. And the parents understand that this is a volunteer-run program.
Right.
And the tutors are fabulous because, I mean, these are the people that come in and they want to dedicate their time. But being a tutor also – like it's the biggest time commitment too because you are saying, yes, I will be there once a week for 10 weeks for an hour. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, we also say when you register for it, when the tutors send in their registration for that session and when the students apply, they tell us what their availability is. So it's not limited to a certain time frame and it's not limited to playhouse hours. For example, I have a young lady she's 18, so she can be there without me. She meets her student every Monday at 4:00 at the playhouse.
Nice.
I'm not there. The playhouse is closed, but she can be there without me. One of my other volunteers meets her student at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. We're closed, but she can be there without me. Mm-hmm. My tutors are background checked at a higher level so they can be there alone in the playhouse without me. Here's the code. Let yourself in. Do it. Go home.
Nice.
Yeah,
no, that's great. It's a great – you utilize the space and the community. And, yeah, no, it's a mm-hmm. – flexibility is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I have another woman who – she comes and meets with her student – on Wednesdays at 11:30 at the Playhouse. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, so that's very flexible. So
yeah.
There's all kinds of ways people can get involved. You can clean the toys.
Yeah.
You can do the grocery shopping. You can tutor. You can help with events. You can do all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So any wild requests that people have turned into something fun or other stories that people just say, I want to help. Let me know how.
Oh, people come in with the most, I don't know. I think the list has gone too long. We've been there almost 5 years now. We're actually coming up on our 5th anniversary in January.
Wow.
So we are, as I told one of my board members this week, I am now plotting and scheming with one of my board members, who's also become one of my best friends. So everyone jokes when the two of us get started, forget it. But Erin and I are currently working on ideas for our 5th anniversary birthday party.
Fun.
When we got lucky, our anniversary actually is falling on a Saturday, so we're going to do it that. We want to do it that Saturday at the Playhouse.
Perfect.
And open that up to the community, and you know, thank you for 5 great years. Let's make the next 5 just as awesome.
Yeah, and then you mentioned you're going to the national conferences. There's always a lot of good ideas and collaboration that come out of there. I bet.
Yeah, I mean, and I have definitely my partners in crime, as I call them, in other playhouses and locations, and you know, I have my people in the national office that have just become such good friends and. Honestly, I never thought this job would take over my life the way it has, but in such a good way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's a woman who runs the Playhouse at Fort Wayne, Indiana. I think she and I probably communicate in one way or another almost daily. If it's even by Snapchat, there's something going between the two of us almost daily because she's one of my partners in crime. We get to conference and the two of us are like, what can we do
I know. Yeah, it's so fun.
It's fun. I mean, they're my people.
I know, and that's what I keep telling you, because, I mean, that's how – it was like a lightning bolt hit you, right?
Oh, but yeah, totally. Yeah,
same with me with Room to Read. It's like, you know, you get – you it develops a whole new network, a whole new – and you just can't get enough. It is. It's like Kool-Aid, rocket fuel. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's great, you know, and I'm like, this job, the cold dead figures, they're going to part out of my hands. But
I know, but good for you. And, I mean, and there's something like that out there for everybody.
Yeah.
You just might – you might bump into it. You might have to search a little bit for it. You just – you've got to – just talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, talk to your people at church, to, you know, talk to someone in the grocery store. You know, just there's so many things out there and so many ways to get involved. It really isn't that hard to figure it out.
But yeah,
you just gotta set aside
patient.
Yes, and set aside a little time, because then I always tell people it's addictive. Mm-hmm. You know, you couldn't find time. You can't find 5 minutes, but then you're donating like 5 hours a week.
Yeah,
like, it's that good. So yeah. Tell everybody again where to find you and how to follow you.
Okay. It's Gigi's Playhouse, Hillsboro. We're located at 450 Amwell Road, Suite H in Hillsboro. Our phone number, if you want to call me and ask questions, 908-829-5331. You can always email me, hillsboro@gigisplayhouse.org. And remember, it's G-I-G-I-S. You can go to our website, ggsplayhouse.org/Hillsboro. And then we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Okay, great. And then if you want to read about the whole story, Nancy Gianni, the founder, who is called the Chief Belief Officer.
Yes, she's our Chief Belief Officer.
I love that. And she's hashtag Generation G, and she wrote a book all about it. And I can't wait to get that book. So
it's actually – it's funny enough, for somebody who's been working with an organization for so many years, I read the book, and I was like, huh, I never knew that.
I know.
So, I mean, even I learned things reading that book I thought were just amazing things, you know, like her background of, like, you know, even when she was pregnant with Gigi, she had this drawn towards the special needs population, but she didn't know until Gigi was born.
That's wow.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. So thank you for your time, Liz.
Thank you for having me.
Take care.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump making a statement at this hour at the White House concerning the Turkey-Syria border situation. In a tweet a short time ago, the president said the ceasefire there has held and that the Kurds are safe, though that doesn't jibe with reports from the ground. President Trump also saying that ISIS prisoners being held in the area have been secured. Presidential candidate Joe Biden is still leading the polls in the race for the Democratic nomination. A new CNN survey says Biden has support of 34% of Democratic-leaning voters. Senator Elizabeth Warren comes in second in the poll with 19%.
This has been a challenging few years for Facebook.
That's Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, currently in the spotlight at a hearing on Capitol Hill that's going to focus on its controversial plan for digital currency. This is USA Radio News.
I'm at the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C. with Dr. Barbara Natterson Horowitz, evolutionary biologist and physician.
There's a form of fainting that happens when people get stressed because the excitement triggers a slowing of the heart. Why this happened didn't make sense. The heart shouldn't slow down. The heart should speed up when there's fear. But what I've learned by working with veterinarians and learning about how animal hearts work is that young animals, when they are scared, sometimes their heart rates get very, very low, and that causes them to be very still. And when wild animals become very still, it often makes them safer from predators. One possible hypothesis is that slowing of the heart rate in response to fear in our species is actually an evolutionary echo from our vertebrate ancestors, for whom the slowing of the heart was life-saving.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
Former Vice President Joe Biden's now apologizing for referring to the 1998 impeachment of former President Bill Clinton as a partisan lynching. It comes hours after Biden was slamming President Trump for using the term lynching to describe the current impeachment inquiry of himself. A Pacific Gas and Electric spokesman says hundreds of thousands of Californians could soon be without power again for the next few days as part of an effort to reduce the risk of wildfires.
The Sierra Foothill portion or region of our service territory is expected to receive those dangerous winds at approximately 5 p.m. We plan, if forecasts remain consistent, to begin the de-energization sequence at approximately 2 p.m.
A new report says every 5 days in America, a young person 19 or under is killed by a train. Save Kids Worldwide says parents have to discuss train dangers with their children. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
If you're on Obamacare, your rates will be dropping next year. USA's Chris Barnes has more on the story.
Rates for those using healthcare.gov to get their coverage will be dropping by an average 4% in 2020 in 38 different states. It's the second consecutive year of lower rates. Six states using healthcare.gov will see double-digit drops. And in 2020, 20 more insurance companies are joining the federal exchanges, bringing the total to 175. So the number of states with only one carrier will be dropping from 5 to 2 next year. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has announced that Congressman Elijah Cummings will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol before his funeral. She said the 12th-term congressman from Maryland will lie in state Thursday in the Statuary Hall, which will be open for public viewing. Beforehand, there will be a formal ceremony for invited guests only. Cummings died on Thursday morning at Johns Hopkins Hospital after long-standing health problems. On October 25th, a wake and funeral for Cummings is scheduled to take place at the New Psalmist Baptist Church in Lokern, Maryland, where he worshipped for nearly 4 decades. President Trump ordered all flags on federal government grounds to be lowered to half staff through Friday as a mark of respect. He was 68 years old. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.com.